is on spiritual warfare. And as I was coming, I was about leaving the house, I had this inspiration to begin this talk by starting with a prayer by Linda in this book again on spiritual warfare. So I'm going to invite you all to just bow your heads in prayer as I say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you in praise, worship, and adoration. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to give me life, to give me forgiveness, to give me a place in your family. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide me and empower me in my daily life. Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see your greatness, your majesty, your victory on my behalf. I place myself now under the cross of Jesus Christ and cover myself with the precious blood of Jesus. I surround myself with the light of Christ and say in the name of Jesus that nothing shall interfere with the Lord's work being accomplished in my life. I put on God's armor to resist the devil's tactics. I stand my ground with truth buckled around my waist and integrity for a breastplate. I carry the shield of faith to put out the burning arrows of the evil one. I accept salvation from God to be my helmet and receive the word of God from the Spirit to use as a sword. Heavenly Father, please show me any way that Satan has a hold of my life. I let go of all those ways now. Any territory I have handed over to Satan, I now reclaim and place under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all spirits of the air, fire, water, ground, underground, and netherworld. I bind all forces of evil and claim the blood of Jesus on the air, the atmosphere, the water, the ground, and their fruits around us, the underground and the netherworld. In the name of Jesus Christ, I seal this room and all members of my family, relatives, associates, and all sources of supply in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forbid every spirit from any source from harming me in any way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I reject the seductive lure of evil in all its forms and refuse to let sin have dominion over me. I reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. Heavenly Father, I ask forgiveness for myself, my friends, relatives, and ancestors for calling upon powers that set themselves up in opposition to Jesus Christ. I renounce all openness to the occult, all false worship, and all benefits from magical arts. I renounce every power apart from God and every form of worship that does not offer true honor to Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I break any curses that may be coming against me or my family and stop the transmission of those curses through my ancestry. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you, spirit of anger, unforgiveness, fear, insecurity, illness, trauma. I bind you away from me now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, fill me with your love to replace the fear. Fill me with strength to replace the weakness. Fill me with hope to replace the illness. Fill me with strength to replace the weakness. Loving Father, let the cleansing, healing waters of my baptism flow back through the generations to purify my family line of contamination. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin by reading the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is something that we get a little bit uncomfortable about, because probably because sometimes we think about casting a demon's exorcism and all that, and if you watch The Exorcist and all that, it gets really, really scary. And sometimes we don't just want to go there. Or sometimes we undermine the power of the devil in the world. It's a war that exists. It's not something that is very physical. It's a war that exists in the spiritual realm. So when you have a fight with somebody you can see physically, you know that you have a fight with this person. You know how you can plan an attack against this person. You know how you can handle this person. But in spiritual warfare, it is something that happens in a world we cannot really see what is happening there. It's not very visible. Sometimes we only begin to realize what is happening as we have already entered into the battle. Even though we do not see it, one thing I want you to keep in mind is that it is real. Don't think it's not real. It is real. The devil is real. The devil is working over time in the world. As I always say, he works over time in the world without pain. Yeah. It's real, and he's fighting us. Do not joke about it. Do not underestimate his power. Spiritual warfare is about us Christians being in the offensive. We resist the devil when he tries to harass us, because it's after us, most especially when you begin to improve in your faith. Because when your faith is kind of really, really down and you are not living properly as a Christian and all that, the devil doesn't care about you. He doesn't. Because you are not a threat to his kingdom. But the very moment you want to improve in your life, the very moment you want to be better in your life, he is going to come after you. And the more you are improving, the more you are doing better, he comes even with more powerful, with his legions and all that, against you. So we need to always keep that in our minds and not think, well, you know, the devil is not really real, you know, he doesn't exist and all that. No, he does. And sometimes he comes to us through the people that we love. Sometimes he comes to us through the sources that we least expect. Because he's trying to deceive us. He's trying to confuse us. So you might think, well, if this is from my best friend, then it's probably right. Then I should do it. You know, I should take that direction. The devil knows that he can use that person against you. And the person might actually not even know that he or she is being used by the devil. So it is always very important as Christians to be in the offensive. So that's what spiritual warfare is about. It's about us being in the offensive. It's about us going after him. We don't sit there and wait for him to come after us. No, we go after him. That is the only war, offensive war, that I think is just, that you just go. You go and start fighting it. Once you see that he's a threat, you just go and you want to fight him. And the devil is always a threat to us. As the first book of Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, that the devil, our enemy, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. He's after me, he's after you, he's after every one of us. He's looking to see who will give him some loophole, will give him a gap so that he will get right into our life. These are the kinds of things you will not ordinarily hear in a Sunday sermon. I know that, because that seems to be something that is kind of like old school, you know, before Vatican II, you know, that kind of stuff. But the truth is that the devil is still the same, and he still unleashes the same amount of power. I think even more in our world, today. In the reading we read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we are told that we are fighting a war against a spiritual power, but we must stand up to him in faith. And there are certain armors, as St. Paul tells us, a breastplate of righteousness, truth. Our feet should be shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. Hold faith as your shield. It is faith that you are going to use in deflecting the arrows of the evil one. So faith is really important. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You cannot do this by yourself, and you must always keep that in mind when you are going into this kind of stuff, that you can't do this by yourself. You can't do it in your own name. It has to be done in the name of Jesus. So you hold the sword of the Spirit, and it has to be done in the Spirit. And that's why St. Paul says in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. The reason that is important is when you push back, you push the devil back. You are fighting him, you push him back. Don't push him back and relax. Because when you do, because he's only going to reinforce and come back after you. Don't push him back and relax. He's going to reinforce and come after you. I had a friend that throughout the summer, he's a priest and he's into a lot of spiritual warfare. Throughout the summer, when he was a seminarian, he did a lot of spiritual warfare and went against the devil, you know, battling them day and night. All through fighting, going, getting into their kingdom and fighting them and praying against them and holding them hostage and all that. He did it through the summer. He had a lot of time. He was constantly in prayer. He went back to the seminary at the end of the summer. And back in the seminary, he did not have as much time to constantly be in prayer as he had during the summer, because he had to his studies and everything. Guess what was happening to him? The devil will come back to his room in the night, take him from his bed, and drop him on the floor. He had to battle that for a very long time, battling with him constantly. And if he knew what was going on, and he went back at it again with serious prayer. So that's why when Paul says, at the end of that passage, Paul says, with all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. Because again, you are trying to be alert. You are trying to constantly, you know, be alert so that the devil doesn't catch you by surprise. So every opportunity you have, you want to be in prayer. If you read the second book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3-5, St. Paul tells us that although we are in the flesh, we do not battle according to the flesh. We do not battle according to the flesh. For the weapons of our battle are not of flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. So we have the power. You don't go with the weapons of the flesh. You go with the weapons of the Spirit when you are going to fight the devil. And those weapons are capable of destroying the fortresses of the evil world. And he goes on to say, we destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God. We destroy every argument and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God. So you don't, when you find that somebody is condemning God, somebody is going against God and all that, that is a sign of the devil, you know, working in there. It might come by way of a joke. Don't just sit down there and laugh, you know, when somebody is making a dirty joke about Jesus or, you know, about God or about something. You know that the devil is trying to walk through that medium at that point. You have to go against it in prayer. Don't just sit down and say, oh, I just want to really enjoy a good joke. You have to really, really go you have to really, really go against it. And it's always very difficult sometimes to be able to discern where the devil is working and to be able to pray about this. But the first thing, as I said, is we need to always be alert to the power of the enemy and go after him. That would be your safest means. Your safest means is when you pray, as part of your prayer, I do that every single night when I am praying. Because I know I am lying down, you know, maybe for the next 4 or 5 hours I'll be sleeping. I don't know what the devil is up to during those 4 or 5 hours that I'm sleeping. So before I hit the bed, I want to make sure that I go after him and I destroy him wherever he is. You try to break the stronghold that the devil has over anyone. And sometimes this happens even when you are trying to speak to somebody about the faith, when you are trying to draw somebody to the Christian faith and all that. That's why prayer is always very, very important. So like if I'm trying to, when I used to do home visits, you know, to try to encourage people to come back to church, the very first thing I do is I begin with a prayer from home and I say, Lord, wherever the devil has hold over the life of this person that is making this person not to come to church, I want you to break that. I want you to release this person before I go in there to speak with this person. In that way, again, I'm clearing the way, I'm breaking loose of the devil's hold in that person's life and disposing that person to receive the word of God that I'm going to share with him. And sometimes in that way, he acts through a spirit of fear. And I get that every now and then, every Sunday, every now and then, I'm like, okay, I know I'm all prepared. Maybe I've even preached already at the Saturday evening mass and maybe the Sunday morning mass or something. And then maybe by the evening mass, maybe God really wanted me to speak to somebody in that mass or something, in my sermon. And then suddenly I stand up to preach. I'm overwhelmed by this fear. And I lose confidence immediately. It's like I have forgotten everything I wanted to say. It's like I'm afraid of the crowd now. It's like, and I know it right away that it is the devil working, and I go after him. Now, what I always do, and I can share this with you, what I always do, the moments between the time I work from the amble, from reading the gospel, if I'm the one reading the gospel, or from my chair, the presider's chair, to the front of the church to begin my sermon, I'm always praying. It's not a long prayer, it's maybe I usually have about 2 minutes and I pause, you know, for a while, allowing people to settle down and all that. But what I'm doing during that moment is praying, asking God to fill me and all that, and then asking God to take away the power of the evil one wherever it is here in this church and wherever it is holding, that the devil is holding captive in this church right now, that the people will be open to receive the word that I am going to share with them. So that has become my norm now. I started that even from Parkersburg. I started doing that every Sunday because I was getting those attacks many times, standing there to pray, and he comes and he walks on me and he hits me really, really hard, and then I become so confused about what I wanted to say. So it's always very good for us to attack him, to go on the attack, and to be sure that we are covered. Sometimes he places on us illnesses to discourage us in our faith. That's the reason we should not put our trust. And I said this yesterday, that sometimes, you know, we put our faith more in the medication and in our doctors than we put in God. The devil is so powerful that he can actually cause your medication not to work so that you feel discouraged. He can actually cause your doctor to diagnose a wrong thing, so that he discourages you in your faith, and then you're struggling. So You complement your medication, you complement the work of your doctor with strong prayers. And always when you pray for healing and you pray for someone for healing, always again, go against the devil and say, wherever he's acting, causing this illness, you know, I command him to leave, you know. Because sometimes he might be in there somewhere causing a problem. So it's always good to go after him. Sometimes he plants family problems, he puts problems in our families and all that. Again, that's why it's very, very important to pray as a family, and again, calling upon God to destroy the power of the evil one in our families. A very, very simple prayer, which again, I say it at least two times every day. Prayer to St. Michael, the Archangel. If you have not been saying it, if you don't know it, it would be a good idea. You can pray it off the internet, memorize it, or keep it close with you and say it as many times as possible. I say it at the beginning of the day, and I say it at the end of the day. And sometimes during the course of the day, I say it as well. So spiritual warfare, you know, is also when we go into this kind of warfare, we are affirming our confidence that we are overcomers and that Satan has no hold at all of our lives. That Satan has no power over our lives, over anything that happens in our life. As I said earlier, we all have the power. We've been given the power to do this. So there's no reason for you to be afraid. God has given you the power. It's not something that is, you know, limited to like priests or one exorcist that the diocese might have, but it's a power that has been given to us to go after the devil, to cast him out, and to destroy him. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus Christ says to us, "These signs will accompany those who believe, those who have faith, not just the priests, not just the nuns, not just the deacons, everyone who has faith in him. These signs will accompany them. In my name, they will drive out demons." In my name, they will drive out demons. So we have that power to drive out demons. And they will lay their hands on those who are sick, and they will recover. It's power that has been given to you. It's authority that you have. And that's why when you are in spiritual warfare, saying in spiritual warfare, you don't negotiate. We don't negotiate with the devil. You don't go into negotiating with him. You know, I know in Nigeria, there's this song people always sing, and I always would go after them. That I am married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. Satan doesn't like that kind of persuasive language. You have to give him, the only language he hears is commands, violence, and all that. So you have to go after him forcefully in your prayer. So if you're going to say spiritual warfare, you know, you're going to say, you know, the devil, I know you are. You are powerful. Please leave me alone. I don't want you in my life. I don't want anything to do with you. He's not going to hear that. He's not going to take that. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. You have no business in my life. I don't have anything to do with you. Get out of my life. That's the kind of language he hears, and that's how we should approach him. He's not our friend. We don't belong to the same kingdom. We have nothing to do with him. There's no reason for us to be friendly with him or to persuade him in any way. And other things we do in spiritual warfare, again, I've said this, you go after the devil. And usually when you're going after the devil, don't just go by yourself. Go with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fire. So call upon him to destroy the works of the devil. Call upon the Holy Ghost fire to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the things that this reminds me is in the first book of Kings, chapter 18, when the prophet Elijah goes against the prophets of Baal. And in verse 21, it says, "The God who answers with fire is God." Our God is the God that answers with fire. And Elijah went on in verse 38. "The Lord's fire came down and consumed the holocaust, the wood, the stones, and the dust." So when we call upon God, we call upon the Holy Spirit, it's going to come down and it's going to destroy the power of the enemy, the devil. Keep in mind that the devil is always planning. He's always strategizing, thinking about how he will get you. So what you want to do is, when you're in the offensive, you go after, you also call up, like, when I pray, I will say, you know, I will say things like, Holy Ghost fire, I ask you to cause confusion in their midst, wherever, you know, he's planning his attacks against me, against my family, against somebody. I want you to cause confusion in their midst. I want you to arrest them, you know, throw them to the lake. That's the kind of language, you know, the forceful language. So because you go after him, you don't give him the opportunity at all to even sit down and plan something against you. You don't give him that opportunity. You go after him where he's trying to meet and make sure he doesn't meet and decide on something against you. Another thing again that we need to also do is to seal yourself, to seal your family with the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Always call upon the blood of Jesus Christ. I do that several times a day. When something happens, it becomes so common, I'll say, the blood of Jesus. You know, I'll just scream. Or let's say somebody was cutting into my way when I'm driving and I'm afraid there's going to be an accident, I just scream, the blood of Jesus, you know, because I want Jesus to take care of that, to take care of that situation. So there is power in the blood of Jesus. And when you seal yourself with the blood of Jesus, then you are not allowing the devil to have hold of your life. You are not allowing the devil to come into your life. The book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 11 tells us that the huge dragon and the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was conquered by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. So we are conquerors with the blood, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we seal ourselves, we seal our families, we seal our homes with the blood of Jesus Christ. Another thing again we do is that then we go, we set the Holy Ghost fire around us, so that again the devil doesn't get any entrance into our lives. He doesn't get any entrance into our families. You will see all the things I'm mentioning in the prayer at the back of my book. So the idea again here is to be in the offensive. So you seal yourself with the blood of Jesus, you seal your family with the blood of Jesus, you seal your house with the blood of Jesus, you seal your car. When I get in my car to make a journey, I seal it with the blood of Jesus. You know, I seal the roads that my tires are going to drive through with the blood of Jesus and all that. Then I feel, once I do that, I feel so confident that I am not going to have any problems on the way. And then another thing again you do, and this was also in Linda's prayer, and also in a prayer in my book, you break curses. Sometimes we carry a lot of curses with us that we do not know that we have them. And sometimes the person we are praying for, when we are praying for somebody else, that person might have some curses as a result of the suffering or whatever the person is going through. And some curses might be generational curses. So that person is not directly responsible for the curses, but they have been there from generations to generations. So in spiritual warfare, we have to go after them. We have to break those curses. Again, we have been given the authority. We've been given the power to break those curses. And I have encountered a few of them, you know, as I pray with people. And all that. Some of them will be financial causes, for example. I know people that will make so much money, you know, every month, and they cannot tell you where the money goes to. The very moment they make money, and suddenly all these problems will come up, and it will take away all the money. And that just goes the same cycle over and over and over again. They work so hard, they make so much money, but whenever they get the money, something just comes up and eats up all the money. So I've run into causes like that. So you break them. Well, sometimes there might be biological causes. There might be causes like somebody not being able to give birth to a child or somebody carrying a particular illness. Sometimes there might be death. One of my friends, Father Peter, who is a lot into spiritual warfare, last 2008, when I went out, I met with him, and he was telling me a story of a lady whom I know. The lady came with somebody to accompany somebody to his chapel where he was saying mass. And on her way out, the priest now says to her, he said, "You know, your family is under a curse, and seven of you are going to die, a curse of death. Seven of you are going to die, except you guys have those curses broken, you know, and pray and have them broken and all that." And she just said, another false prophecy, you know, people always say these kinds of things and all that. And she was going to be the number six of the people that were going to die. The first died, the second died, the third died, four died in 3 months. And she ran back to Father Peter and said, "We need to take care of this. We need." And that was what Father Peter went there, and he was able to break the curses and was able to go after the commitments and all that, and that the death stopped. And the death stopped with the four people that died. So sometimes it could be a cause of death. And usually when you're praying spiritual warfare, it's always a good idea to try, if when you're praying with somebody, it's always a very good idea to try to find out the sources of the causes, you know, to know where they come from, or to pray for an insight that God shows you what the cause, you know, where this is coming from, the source of this cause. In that way, you can go to the real source and try to solve it from the real source. Like, for example, a parent might directly place a curse on a child. And those of you who are parents in the room, and those of you who will be parents, be very, very careful of the things you say to your children. I say, always, what you can always do is to bless your children, no matter how difficult they are. Do not use curse words on them, because those are very powerful and they might affect them. I know a particular lady whom the mother cursed when she was like a little girl. She was about 16, and the mother said to her, "You will never, for the way you are treating me, you will never be able to have a child of your own." And she has never been able. Unfortunately, at the time we found this out, it was already too late. She was over 50 and her mother was long dead. So those things are very powerful. I always encourage, I say this to parents all the time, please, please do not say things like that to your children, because you are placing curses on them. When you know the source of the curse, then you can handle it. There have been times I would tell people, I would send people, I would say, "You know what? Go to your mother. Apologize to her for whatever you have done. Ask her for a mother's blessing or for a father's blessing. Ask him, kneel down. Let him or her lay hands on you and bless you." And that's another thing that we don't do. Just as we have curses, we have blessings as well. It's a good idea to bless your children, to lay hands on your children, and to bless them. Sometimes a curse is as a result of a sin. If it's as a result of a sin, then you try to make sure the person repents of that sin, or maybe go to the sacrament of reconciliation and make sure there's repentance. And then a very interesting one sometimes is covenants and contracts that our ancestors or we have made with the devil. And sometimes there might be as simple things that we enter into without knowing, like things like we get to do, and we think that maybe they're kind of like fun, you know, to go have your palms red and all that kind of stuff. There is nothing, or like you have young people will say, you know, they will sign up that they belong to Satan's church. For them, it might be kind of like, you know, fun to do that. They go on the internet and they find this Satan's church and they sign up and say they have become members of Satan's church or something like that. You know, you don't do things like that again, because you are entering into an association with him. You are entering into a meeting with the devil. You are signing up to be a member of his kingdom. And so when you know those things, and you try, when you know the source of those things, then you can go after the sources and try to break the sources. And when you do that, like again, like our ancestors, maybe 200 years ago, maybe we have no knowledge of them. They may have been involved in some meetings, occultic worships, and all those kinds of things. But we might be suffering the consequences of what they did. So even in my own prayer, I am constantly breaking any of those links and any of those relationships, because I don't know. So it's safer for me to just go after breaking those relationships. And I always say, you know, if there's any privilege, if there is any blessing that I am having today as a result of what they may have done 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, I do not want it. God, please, take it. The devil, please, take your blessing. Take it. I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want that blessing, because I only want my blessings to come from God. Again, the important thing here is that, to keep in mind, is that you have power to go after the devil. You have power to break those curses. And we are